It's quite important to remember, I think, that the Psalms aren't just a series of personal poems. They're also the poems, the songs of a whole community. And it seems as if all of them would be sung in worship in Jerusalem. And that means that part of public worship in ancient Israel was lament. It was the acknowledgement of darkness. It might have been, some people think, a psalm that was sung during a night-long ordeal for a new king or a new high priest who would be locked up in a cave for the night. But the thing was that that person would be speaking on behalf of the whole community. It was as we're giving permission to a whole community to lament, to protest. So not just how somebody happened to be feeling on a bad day, you know, this is the entire community finding the freedom to talk to God in this way.
And there is a genre of psalms called lament.
Psalms of lament, yeah. That's right. And I think they all have that function. And one of the really significant things about the psalms, therefore, is this giving permission. You can say these things to God. You can actually say to God what you feel in those moments.
It's a bleak psalm, but do you personally find it a helpful psalm?
I think it is helpful in just that sense that it tells me, however angry I feel or lost, I can say that. I can say that and God won't go away. And I think here of some of the poems, 17th century poems, of George Herbert, great priest, great mystic. And some of those poems are poems of extraordinary anger, hitting out at God. And Herbert, you might say, shouts at God until he gets hoarse. And then he stops, and God's still there, and he's still there. And something about this psalm especially, among the psalms of lament, gives me that sense. You say everything you can possibly think of. You slag God off as long as you can. And when you've run out of things to say and, you know, rude epithets to call him, he's still there and you're still there.
I guess we look through the lens of our own experience and through our own history. And one of the things about this psalm that I often think about is that it's the Jewish context. And yeah. I think frequently about the experience of so many Jews during the Holocaust, during the Shoah, and of that, and being a real prayer. I can imagine them, people huddled together, saying it together, or maybe saying it personally. Is that something that sort of resonates with your understanding of it?
Yes, I think that if people said a psalm like this in the camps, they meant what they said. And so difficult to talk about this without, as it were, using somebody else's suffering to make a point almost. But some of you just might have seen on television a few years ago that drama set in Auschwitz with Anthony Scher playing a rabbi. Anybody remember that? It was the occasion, the perhaps legendary, perhaps true occasion, when some of the Jews in the extermination camps put God on trial, made the case against God as fully and as exhaustively as they could. And this play recreates such a moment. And in the play, Anthony Scher plays this elderly rabbi who is brought in among all the very different voices and personalities of the men in the camp. And for most of the play, he says absolutely nothing. And about half an hour before the end, when everybody has run out of things to say, he gets up and he draws it all together in a final statement of passionate indictment of God. It's absolutely furious. It's the one thing, the one speech. It bursts out. It's incredibly moving. And those who think, as I do, that Anthony Scher is one of the best things in British theatre can imagine perhaps how gripping that was. And then he falls silent. And they're all summoned out to go into the gas chambers. And as they go, one or two of them begin to murmur the words of the Kaddish, the prayer. And you see one after another, they cover their heads as if with a skullcap as they go into the chambers. Now, that's one context for reading it. And it's one of those things that makes you realise the absolute uselessness of any arguments about God and suffering. The fact is, suffering absolutely destroys some people's faith, and other people live faith in the depth of it all. And I don't know how you argue about it.
And we see resonance with this psalm with the book of Job.
Very much so. And again, in the book of Job, when God comes in at the end of that book, he doesn't come in and say, look, I'll explain everything you need explained. He says, there you are and here I am, once again.